Good morning, Ian. How are you doing today?
Morning, Al. Fine, thanks very much. And yourself?
Excellent. Nice day, nice weather. Couldn't ask for much more than that.
Absolutely.
So today we're here to talk about our upcoming series of posts, webinars, seminars and podcasts all around teams and how they function and sometimes how they don't function. Now, I'm right in thinking there's about 10, is that correct?
At the moment, yes. Could easily be more the way things are going at the moment out there.
Really?
Well, we all tend to take teams for granted. Mm-hmm. And actually, we shouldn't. Because the simple reality is in a complex and complicated world, we can't work these things on our own anymore. We need to be parts of teams. But saying that's not the same as doing it. And what we're seeing consistently is team after team running into issues, failing, and often for the most simple causes. Often coming back to simple questions around leadership, around communication, and surprisingly, around sense of purpose. Too many teams just don't know what they're there to do.
That's a very good point.
And as soon as you start to unpick that, you suddenly realise there's a whole lot of other stuff going on beneath the surface. And actually, putting together, creating, sustaining, and really working an effective team takes a lot more understanding, a lot more effort than most of us tend to assume.
I would also think that a lot of it can be down to longevity of the team and how long people have been working in that team, and you get used to doing things in a certain way and not being as proactive perhaps as one might.
There is something around the whole rhythm of team life and the recognition that a team, like any other entity, has its own storyline. What we tend to think of, and often wrongly, is that a team starts and then it goes on forever and then life is wonderful. Actually, teams tend to have multiple beginnings, middles and endings as they go through life, as their purpose needs to adapt and change, but also as its membership adapts and changes. And at each of those turning points, the team does need to be refreshed and renewed in what it's about and how it's going to work together. Otherwise, what happens is either we carry on with processes that we're using for when the team started 15 years ago, surprise, surprise, they don't work, or we simply lose sight of what we're there to do and how we're supposed to do it. And again, we end up with the team not working.
To add to that, of course, is that when somebody leaves a team, then you've lost a lot of information or a lot of skill. And somebody who comes in and joins that team, they then need to be brought up to speed and they need to be able to integrate with that team to be able to work professionally and properly to achieve whatever the goals of that team happen to be.
Yes, and, well, there's classic interjections. Any time somebody new joins a team is also a really fantastic opportunity just to take breath and just think about what they're bringing and whether that suggests there's something new, a new risk or a new opportunity that the team should be embracing.
That's a very good point. Processes is something else you mentioned, that and processes do change within an organisation over time regardless. And so I'm, from my own experience, teams can get pretty outdated in the way they're working and be out of touch.
All too easily. And there's a phenomenon that people will be familiar with, this idea of groupthink, which, as you know, I've taken a step further and start referring to bubblethink.
Indeed.
Because not only do we huddle together, but actually we put a protective shell around ourselves, which is great and comforting, except, of course, by separating from our context, from our stakeholders, we start losing connection with, we start losing understanding of our stakeholders and what they need from us as a team.
So, currently we're looking at somewhere around 10, maybe a few more topics to cover off. It might be an idea if it might be an idea if you were to run through just what those are.
So we're going to take a journey through a range of issues. If we look at the more common failings, as I've said, they tend to be around communication, leadership, purpose, also some of the practices and processes. If you then start to look at so what makes for a good and effective team, quite a few models out there. So there are models around the effective factors for team success. There are models about team building. You can go right back to the 70s and Tuckman and that sort of notion of forming, norming and so on. All these are helpful. The particular take that we've been talking about of late is helping teams look forward, helping teams face the future. And when I say face, by that I mean focus, action, connection, and effect. And in that context, we're going to be looking at a number of aspects of the team and through its storyline, and therefore the ways that we can intervene and support the team and its members to be more efficient, more effective, more focused. So, tempting though it is with any good book and any good story to skip the first few chapters, actually we mustn't do it, because that's where things tend to go wrong. So the first few podcasts that we're going to be looking at, and we'll be supporting that with some webinars as well, are beginning with that fundamental question: why are we here? What's this team here for?
But yeah, that must be the fundamental question.
And you might be surprised at how often it isn't asked.
I might.
Then again,
I would have hoped
you might not.
Pretty frequently. Though again, it depends where one has worked.
Yeah. I think most of us, with any experience, will have had at least one experience of being in a team and not being quite sure why or what's supposed to be happening. We can get beyond that. We then go on to look at, so who is the team? And that's got a number of things. That's about the team itself actually understanding and making the most of each other. It's about the team's collective and individual storylines about how they develop and grow. It's about the boundaries between the team and key stakeholders and understanding the implications of that too. So there's quite a range of issues just in that basic positioning question. Team up and running, that's great. We think we're wonderful. Back to this point about bubble thing. But what does everybody else think?
Yeah.
Because if we're not in touch as a team about the effect that we are having and how we connect with our stakeholders, we're probably operating at more risk than we should be.
Indeed.
So there's more work to be looked at there. We then talk a little bit about individual and team values. And values is an interesting one. Everybody wants to talk about values. Talking about values, really understanding your values, and actually living your values are quite different things.
Yeah, I'd even go as far as very different things.
Yeah.
So many people think this is a value, that's a value, that's a value, and so on and so forth, and they end up with 10, 15, whatever it is, values. And which of those ones that really count for that individual? And which are the ones that really count for the team leader? Or for who's ever in charge of, I don't know, production, for example. So it's that value thing is an absolutely critical piece of it.
And yet again, so often just kind of stepped over, because we tend to make assumptions. You go into any room and you tend to assume that everyone there has the same values as you.
Indeed.
That's rarely exactly the case. Or we tend to assume, if we're operating with an organisation, that we all understand the organisation's values in the same way. Assuming, of course, the organisation has some stated values, and we will agree with them and we will comply with them.
Yep.
Again, not always the case. So there's a rich seam there of what can often become very entrenched battle lines between team members and teams and stakeholders if those questions around values aren't understood and managed from quite an early stage.
There's also the case, of course, that the values of team member A and the values of team member B could be radically different. Yeah. And each could get insulted, upset, and ends up sitting at the table with their arms crossed and legs crossed, looking sideways because they don't want to have anything to do with the other team member. Yeah. And nobody picks up on it.
Yeah, all too easily done. Yeah. All too easily done. So we'll have a lot to talk about when we get onto that session.
Indeed.
We'll also be looking at a little more detail around the roles and the players within a team, because these matter too. It's about how we optimize the group that we have, both in the now, but also each of us rightly has a desire to improve ourselves one way or another.
Yeah.
And if the team is going to be a big part of our life for the next 6, 12, 18 months or more, we need to be able to manage that personal growth within the team context. But also, we need to recognise that the team is an entity in itself.
Yes, rather like a company is an entity in itself, as far as the HMRC or whoever is concerned.
Yeah. So the team role, the team performance, the team presence in the organisation, these things all matter too. that's a lot of thought. That's a lot of thinking about how we interrelate. We also need to focus on actually getting the job done. So we will be looking a bit at practical teamwork.
Yep.
How things get done, how we work beyond the team, how we work with authority and delegation, how we work with negotiation. Because those things all matter and can become quite tense. But that does lead us on to that question then of working in teams of teams and understanding what that concept is really about and how any team can start to leverage that to get more out of its connections, more out of what it knows and what it can do.
Understood.
Part of working together then that we'll come on to look at is virtual teams.
Now, this is a really real biggie, given what's gone on in the last couple of years or so.
Yeah.
And remote teams, do we consider those part of virtual teams under the same topic? Or?
So we started off with this idea of virtual. As we've gone through the conversation, I think we may find that it would help people more to think about them as hybrid teams.
Yes, that's a good point.
Because what's happening is not just this notion of people operating in different locations, some of them quite distant, but people operating in different ways, people only really connecting through social media and related platforms. All of these things actually change the interactions between people. And one of the things that has certainly become a theme post the lockdown return in many countries has been this sense of discontent as people have gone back to work and A, found it difficult to get back into the groove of working in office with other people because it has been a shock. We've got into solo habits. B, all of us tending to want a bit more of a hybrid work style.
Yeah.
Which for many of us is a great and useful thing to do. But that poses all kinds of interesting questions about how you measure productivity, how you manage performance, but also how you maintain the team as a team. Because it's a very different relationship that you have with people physically co-located with you than when you're trying to manage them through machines.
I've worked probably remotely since early 2000s because of the type of work I was doing with people spread around the globe. And yeah, and sometimes it could be extremely hard to make that team function in the way expected to do. Other times it was staggeringly easy, of course. So it is a bit of swings and roundabouts.
Well, it's about understanding what's going on and what the risks and opportunities are. On the one hand, the social media allows us this connectivity around the world, which is great. But what that also does at exactly the same time is it opens us up to different cultures.
Yeah.
And it's great to be able to talk to someone in Japan or someone in the States about the work that we want to do together. But actually, now we have that connection, we need to understand that our cultures are different.
Yes, indeed.
And that says something about communication, it says something about expectations, about the rhythm of engagement.
Yeah, it's all too easy to put one's own cultural expectations on other people. And
exactly.
Of course, that can create all sorts of issues in itself.
Yeah. And as we're talking about people and issues, one of the next things that we want to look at is around team dynamics. And in particular, that whole question of what happens with churn, whether that's process or focus churn because the organisation changes or because the challenge changes, or the churn that comes with people rotating in and out. Mm. Because especially in the smaller teams, if one person goes from a 5-6 person team, that's a 15-20% hit on your resource.
Indeed.
Now, as soon as you recognise that, you realise actually somebody moving out is potentially quite a big change.
Yeah.
And how do we make sure they don't walk out the door with key knowledge that the rest of us don't have? How do we make sure that the person that comes in to replace them is welcomed and respected and helped to be part of the team, but also helps us to take that opportunity to think about maybe there are other things we should be thinking about now that this fresh blood, fresh thinking has come in to challenge what may be quite a comfortable status quo that we've built up over several months or years.
Yeah, but as you said earlier, that does also create potentially opportunities.
Yes. And then the last sort of area that we've been looking at for the minute, though there may yet be more, is just dipping into resilience. It has been a welcome shift over the last 2 years or so, that people have become more aware about mental health. Now, I think it's quite obvious that the language and the quality of debate about mental health is still in its infancy.
Yeah.
Lots of people are trying and stumbling in that space at the minute. And we could be po-faced and we could laugh, but what's the point of that? The fact is that people are trying.
Yeah.
And we need to think around, how do we help colleagues, staff, actually build that resilience and make sure that we are supporting and monitoring them in what's going to be quite a difficult time economically over the next 2 to 3 years. COVID may be over by some kind of technicality, but yeah. The reality is the consequences of that and what's happening to the global economy, life isn't going to get any easier anytime soon.
No, it's not. That's very true. And in the UK, you've got the additional impact of Brexit.
And I think also recognising that Brexit has quietly begun to have an impact on our European colleagues as well.
Yeah, that's
because
true.
They are starting to think again about what they want. And that's raising questions again about the set of relationships that may or may not happen. There's a lot out there for any team that's wanting to focus on getting down and delivering outcomes, delivering performance for its organisation. And that's why we end up with quite a large menu of things that we'd like to talk about in a bit more detail in these podcasts and with our webinars over the coming months and year.
Great. I find this work and this area absolutely fascinating. And certainly from my own experience, and I know from your own experience, there's a lot of stuff that we can do to help people. So let's make a start.